Blog Talk Radio.
I think she appreciated that.
You know I appreciated that. I done not really bigged you up on Facebook. I'm like, you the best DJ on the planet.
All right.
That's my song.
What is the name of that song?
The name of the song is Always On My Mind, and it's by one of my favorite reggae artists. His name is DeVille. So if y'all go to myspace.com, amazon.com, and just look up DeVille, you can get his music. And we got to get him on the show, too. So I just love that song. And if you ever like, been there before where you just was, like, all off into a person and in love, and that person always be on your mind, and be like, oh, that's my... Oh, okay.
Okay. All righty, then. Well, that's what it is here. That's DeVille, and that's called Always On My Mind. So definitely go to MySpace and look that up and go to wherever, probably Walmart, Target, all
you
of
know,
them.
Yeah, Amazon.com. DeVille is a huge reggae artist. I just love that.
That's what's up. Well, y'all know what time it is. Time to keep it real hot and fresh again for another Monday night. We are so happy to be here. Ain't it right, everybody? Smooth tea. Where my smooth tea at? Smooth tea? Okay, you know what I'm saying? I got a check for the smooth tea, so you know what I'm saying? We represent for the A's. We're representing, keeping it real hot and fresh. It is being Raleigh Durham Chapel Hill. Now, for all of you who keep up with the show, y'all know that we are one host short, but that's all right. You know what I'm saying? It's okay. Why? Because we are now doing another host trial period where we are trying to actually find not any host, you know, where we are looking for a West Coast host, okay, with
West
the most.
So
last week we had somebody to represent. This week we have a can't hear you, so try to call in and call back in, okay? But anyway, everybody, Lita from the West Coast. She's from the West Coast. She is our she will be our trial host tonight. Hopefully
yep,
she will call back in and get everything right. But that's exactly
well,
what's going on.
Well, the phone went out for everybody because mine went out too. I went blank for like 5 seconds here.
Exactly. Definitely having phone problems. So hopefully Lisa can call back in because we definitely want her to be on the show for the trial host period. So hopefully she can hear us and hopefully she'll call back in. Let me see something. I think this may be her. Lita?
Yes.
Okay, hey, there you go. Great. Hey, Lita. Yeah, we are so happy that you got back in. We must have some phone problems a few minutes to go. But,
yes.
Lita, welcome to the show, Z-Fly, Tori D.
Welcome.
So Lisa, so I believe you're like a regular listener, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
That's right. So you know how we do. So tell everybody a little bit about Lisa, where you're from, what you do, all that good stuff. Go ahead.
Well, right now I'm just driving home from work. I was born in L.A. I reside in FD. I work for a low-income apartment. Go to school at the same time. I'm 22, and that's me.
Just a baby. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's what's up, Lita. We definitely welcome you to the Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh show tonight. And what we're going to do, everybody, we're going to definitely get into our show because we do have a great show. We're already 10 minutes into the show, so we don't want to waste any more time. Well, I mean, not saying we're wasting time, but you know what I'm saying. We want to definitely get into the topic. So we're going to go ahead and start things off with the weekly inspiration presented by our girl, Tori D.
Okay, y'all. It's your girl, Tori D, and I'm about to hit you with the weekly inspiration. This week's weekly inspiration is going to come from Joel Osteen, and it's called Begin Again. It's coming from Revelation 21:5, and it says, "He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new." Can you remember a time when you discovered a big dream in your heart? Maybe you were determined to excel in your career, or excel as a parent, or even excel in your walk with the Lord. You probably started out strong, but maybe things got a little difficult and didn't happen as quickly as you would like them to happen. At that point, many people decide, okay, I'm going to just settle here. It's not exactly what I wanted, but at least it's good enough. Well, I would like to remind you today, you are made for more than just good enough. Maybe things haven't worked out the way you planned, but now is not the time to stop and settle. Now is the time to dig your heels and begin again. And even if that dream has died, it's time to fulfill a dream or another dream. God has so much in store for you, so never give up. If you settled in your life, take the first step today by declaring, I am not going to settle for mediocrity anymore. I am made for much more. Things can be difficult, but I am pressing forward. I'm going to keep believing, and I'm going to keep making it until I make it to the promised land. Be sure to take some time this week to reflect and to remember that God sees where you are. And if you let him in your life, he is going to make everything brand new. And that's your girl, Tori D.
That's what I like, everybody. Yes, that's definitely a weekly inspiration from your girl,
Lita,
Tori D.
I'm so glad
week.
You are here, too.
Thank you.
I just love you. You always call in and you always add so much to the show. So I'm super excited to have you.
Thank you so much. So everybody, so if you tuned in last week, you know that we are here at the Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh show. We are we made the rest of October this domestic violence month for us. Because for one thing, you know, domestic violence is something real, it's personal to a lot of people. I mean, it's really serious. You know, a lot of people, you know, you hear domestic violence. And, I mean, you know, some people know what it's about. Some people really don't. However, so what we did was we took the last 3 weeks, well, starting with last week, we took the last three weeks of October to really bring to you what domestic violence is about. And we actually had some help, actually. We had one outreach specialist from Raleigh-Durham Chapel. Yeah, well, actually, Raleigh. Her name is Danita Chambers, and she works with I'm gonna let her tell you all about her. Danita, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me back.
It's Interact.
Yeah, from Interact.
Yes, we thank you so much for coming back to the show. Kind of like, you know, what I was saying. Now, last week, everybody, we talked about three of the abuses. You know, we've been talking about 10 abuses, but so far we talked about three. Tonight, we're gonna cover four more, and with Demetra's help, she's going to help us dissect, you know, those abuses.
Right.
So that you can really get a understanding of them. And also tonight, we're also going to be talking about why do men, you know, treat women the way they are. Now, if you were listening last week, you found out that domestic violence can be among anybody, you know, children, women, men. But we're looking at domestic violence against women. So tonight,
right,
we're going to look at it from the abuser, which would be the man in this case, point of view. You know, what makes a man treat a woman so, you know, awful, you know, like she's nothing. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So we're going to definitely go ahead and get into the topic. And I guess what we can do is just go ahead and start with one of the abuses for tonight. And then Demetra would definitely help us, you know, kind of, you know, dissect it for us, you know, tell us what it's
break
all
it
about.
Down for us. Yeah.
There you go. And then the rest of the hosts, you know, definitely, you know, tell us, you know, give us your comments, you know, ask any questions you want to. And also, I want to get everybody the number to call in, which is 646-200-3136. And also, our Facebook is open, which is Real Hot Fresh. You'll find that on Facebook. And the SSBN chat is open. So if you definitely want to leave comments, and you know, on either one of those, definitely do so. And I also want to let people know that if you do want to call in, you know, to tell a story or tell your story, and then you don't feel comfortable, you can make your number private. Just to let you know, you can sit star 57, dial the number, and then you know, we won't know who it is. You know, just in case, you know, you want to call in but don't feel comfortable, we won't know your number. Make your number private. All right. Okay. Do
you
have anything to say?
Yeah, I think we just got to reiterate to the listeners out there that we do this for you guys because we care about you. We have a lot of fun on the Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh show, but we also know that we have to be socially responsible as well. So we're all here to learn and we're all here to help one another. So let's get to it.
All right. So last week we talked about the physical abuse, emotional abuse, and then we also talked about using isolation. So the first one tonight we're going to talk about is using intimidation. So Demetra, break that down for us.
Well, basically, again, I just want to thank you all again for having me on and really getting into this really important topic. Just going back to the definition we talked about last week for domestic violence, is the threat or the use of violence by an intimate partner, and
right,
it constitutes a pattern of behavior, and the abuser is really trying to exert power and control over their partner in that relationship. So when you think about intimidation, again, it's back to that threat of violence sometimes. It could be that the person in the relationship is not even actually physically harming their partner, but it's that threat that they might, you know, do something. They might, you know, tell the person, you know, multiple times, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to hurt your family, I'm going to hurt your children. They might, you know, have, you know, take an intimidating type of a stance or yelling and that kind of thing. They might, you know, smash things, destroy property. It could even be that, you know, they're maybe threatening, you know, your pets or, you know, like I said, your children. And so it might not be that they are physically putting their hands on you, but you're always afraid that they might because of some of the things you're doing around you.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Okay. So I guess with that, then we'll go into was that using intimidation or are you just giving us an example of domestic violence?
Yeah, the intimidation piece is a little bit different than like the physical violence. It's just that maybe they're not putting their hands on you directly, or maybe they're not, you know, actually hitting you in any way, but they're making you feel like they might. You know what I mean? They're keeping you on your toes to the point that you feel like, you know, oh my goodness, if I step, you know, out of this little box that they've got me in, I'm going to be hurt seriously.
Yeah. So it makes you not want to leave the relationship.
Absolutely.
Right? Exactly.
Absolutely. I mean, because if somebody is telling you that, you know, if you leave me, I'm going to kill you, you're going to take that seriously. You know what I mean? If somebody says that to you multiple times, you know, it's something that, you know, people take very seriously. And, you know, and oh my goodness, the times that people really don't take it seriously, I mean, it can really lead to something, you know, very terrible happening. So, well, you know, I mean, when abusers say that kind of thing, you know, sometimes it's not just idle threats. I mean, they literally are going to make good on their promise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you with.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead. We didn't hear you, sweetie.
I said it sounds like something a woman would say.
Is that what something a woman would say? Is that what
you're
saying?
That sounds like something a woman would say. If you leave me, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, wow.
No, that's not nothing a woman would say.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I don't know now.
I mean, if a woman is saying it or if a man is saying it, I mean, that's
right.
Abuse. That's abuse. I mean, then sometimes even the intimidation comes from, like, you know, if you leave me, I'm going to kill myself. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? If somebody tells you something like that, you're thinking, oh, my gosh, I can't leave this person. They're going to kill
me. It's going to be on.
I mean, yeah.
Something happens to that person, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that somehow is your fault because, you know, you left that person, and now all of a sudden, you know, they feel like they had to take their own lives. I mean, again, it's just that intimidation factor. And like you said, it makes you feel like you can't leave the relationship.
Right,
you know.
And I never thought of that as abuse, but you are exactly right. When a person does say that, that does put you in a situation where you feel obligated to them. Now, let me go back to the intimidation, what you were talking about. Do you see this a lot with parents and kids? Do you think that sometimes parents, when it comes to domestic violence, use the intimidation factor against the kids?
I definitely think so. I mean, I think, you know, again, domestic violence, any kind of abuse in relationship, that's a learned behavior. And so either, you know, you might have seen that between your parents, or maybe your parents used some sort of intimidation tactics against you, and now you're using that in a relationship thinking that's how you're going to get your partner to do what you want them to do. You have to intimidate them. You have to make them afraid of you so they'll do what you want them to do. But that's not healthy. That's abusive.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
well,
crazy.
That's an outstanding point. It's amazing because this show has been so informative to me because it's a lot of things that have happened, like, in my life and that I've seen happen to other people that you never, ever think is abuse, and then you wonder why that person goes through so much because they have been abused mentally. You know, little subtle things like this that you wouldn't even consider.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been people to say, I will kill myself if you leave.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very abusive, and I'm sure it does weigh on the mind of the person that's in a situation they feel like they're trapped.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does because, again, you just feel like somehow you're going to be responsible for what somebody else does if you leave the relationship. And, of course, you're never responsible for what somebody else does. I mean, everybody is accountable and responsible for their own behavior.
Right.
So, I mean, and a lot of times you have to really kind of talk folks through that. If they call on the crisis lines and they're telling you as a counselor that, you know, my husband said that he's literally going to kill himself, and you just have to really kind of talk them through that. Like, that's a part of the abuse. That's a part of
right.
that type.
That's crazy. These people should say, if you leave me, I'm going to replace you tonight. That's how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
What you say, miss one next 15, one coming.
Okay.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Don't get hung up on one. If they don't want you, hey, do it moving.
Okay.
I know that's right. Keep it moving. I feel you. But that's so much easier said than done because with the abuse comes this thing where we have a misconception of love. And I think that's another one of the main reasons why people stay in an abusive relationship because they absolutely have no inclination what real love is.
Exactly.
Because
love is
not going to hurt you like that.
You're right. You're right about that. I mean, you know, even back to that thing of, you know, oh, I'm going to kill myself if you leave me. Well, I mean, it might be that the person might think, oh, well, this person must really love me if they can't live without me. You know what I mean? Like you just get this skewed idea of
right.
what it means to be in love and what it means to love someone. I mean, love, like you said, love doesn't hurt. You know what I mean?
Right.
Love does not mean that, okay, if you're not with this person, then, you know, somebody can't live as a result. No, I mean, that's not healthy. That's not even a healthy view of a relationship.
And I think that if you really, really did love a person, then you would want that person happy regardless of whether they were with you or not.
Exactly.
You know, you would just be happy that person is happy if you actually did love them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's just
everybody
but
we're gonna wait both of them to go to jail. That's what I say.
What's your face, little T?
I said, both of them is going to seek help. Him for being crazy and her for believing the crazy.
Okay. So everybody.
What's another one?
Hold on, another what?
Another one of the things, another one of the
signs. I'm trying to get there. Wait a minute.
Because I'm thinking, okay, if we do this all night,
I was like,
I can tell y'all some stories, trust and believe.
All right, so everybody.
Hey,
so
guys,
the
hey, check
you,
this out, y'all. We had a we have someone on our Facebook, Mr. Casey, who said love does hurt every now and then.
Oh my
that's shameful. That's so. You know, what do you guys say to that? Because there are some people out there who actually do believe that. You know, love does hurt every now and then.
You might get your feelings hurt while you're in love. But love don't hurt.
You're right about that. I mean, I think there's a fine line, there's a distinction. I mean, that's not to say, I'm not saying that you're not going to get angry with your partner. I'm not saying that you're not going to get fed up or yell or, you know, maybe even call the person out of their name. I mean, it happens sometimes if you're just really angry. But, you know, when you look at what domestic violence is, we're talking about a pattern of behavior. This is not just one time, like, I got really angry and I called you out your name and I come back and I say, you know what, that was just wrong of me and I'm sorry. And we just move on. You know, it doesn't have to be a pattern of behavior. When you're talking about something that's happening, you know, on a weekly basis, then it comes, you know, every other day, then it's every day, then it's every time we talk, that's the pattern of behavior, and that's abuse.
Because I just can't imagine somebody blacking my eye and be like, but you know, I love you, T. What?
You know, once I'd be like, you know, I love you, T. Okay, everybody.
You know,
Tori, she's going
like
through her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Tori,
sorry. Oh, hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it doesn't usually start like that. It usually starts where it's like, you know, there's somebody who's sweeping you off your feet. He's saying all the right things.
Right.
He's buying you flowers every day. He's calling you up every day. I love you, baby. You know, all this great stuff. And then all of a sudden it's like, you make me sick. And you're looking like, what? What happened? You know what I mean? Yesterday you loved me, now all of a sudden, you know.
Right.
You got all this negative stuff to say about me.
And I have got to interject this, too, because ever since Z-Fly has sent this to me, we've just been doing a lot of research. But I researched abuse, and I just want to, because I know we're going to go back to the topics, and I know he's like, oh, here she go.
I have a tour. Well, I don't know. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No. Actually, we're going to get to that, but let's just get to the second one, because, see, also, we want to also, you know, talk about, you know, the abuser, you know, from his point of view. So let's get to one more abuse. And
that's
then,
just
and
nice
then
of telling me to shut up, y'all.
That was not. Yes, it is.
Go ahead.
All right, so everybody, so the first abuse for the night is using intimidation. And, again, like Mr. Mitchell said, she said that, you know, that's making her feel, I'm sorry, making her afraid by using looks, actions, gestures, and a loud voice, you know, destroying her property, abusing her pets, and also displaying weapons, among other things as well. So definitely, you know, look out for any signs such as those, you know, for as far as using intimidation. The next abuse we're going to talk about tonight is actually using children. And to me, this is really low.
Yeah.
You're going to use your children. Yeah. Some of my signs are like making her feel guilty, you know, about the children, you know, using children to give messages. Demetra, what are you know, some more, you know, ways that they could use the children as far as domestic violence?
Well, I've definitely worked with women on the crisis line who say that, you know, they're asking me, you know, is there anything that my husband can do to take my children away from me if I try to leave him? You know, because that's the information that they're getting from their husband. Oh, if you leave me, I'm going to take your kids. You're never going to see him again. Or I'm going to tell the authorities that you're an unfit mother. Well, that's not
true.
Right. I mean, come on, you can't just make up stuff about people and think that's going to stick. Mm-hmm. If you're a good mother and you're doing all that you need to do with your children, just because your abusive husband says, oh, you know, this woman is unfit to be a mother, it doesn't mean it's going to stick. And actually, you know, that just reminds me of a call I just got this weekend, actually. A woman called, and, you know, her husband ended up taking out a domestic violence protective order against her, even though he was the abusing partner, and making some allegations about her being a mother. and, you know, was literally trying to get her committed, you know, based on some of the things that he said. And it's like, no, no. You know, I mean, she had the mental evaluation, and she came out being fine. I mean, they didn't see anything that, you know, made them concerned that she was a threat to herself or to her children. But, I mean, this is the kind of thing that abusers will do. I mean, they will use your children against you, and you know that, you know, women will tend to stay in a relationship, even if it's abusive, because they don't want to do anything to disrupt their children's lives. They want to, you know, maybe they want to, you know, continue to have their children involved with their father. They don't want to do anything to jeopardize that relationship. And so they'll go ahead and take this abuse just because they're looking out for their children, or, you know, they're thinking they're looking out for their children. And the abusing partner will do, you know, these kind of things where they'll manipulate, you know, pieces of information. You know that, you know, you've heard of, you know, children being taken away from parents for, you know, various different reasons. And they'll just make up stuff to try to keep that person locked down, like, you know. You can't leave me because I'm going to take your kid. You're never going to see him again.
And it's
if you're going to leave a person like that, I mean, you know, you have to think about your children a lot of times. So.
And it's sad because a lot of people, like you said, they stay in those situations thinking for the sake of the kids, not realizing that the abuse that the child witnesses is going to take an even greater toll on them than if they would have just left the situation and got any more healthier. You know, type of thing.
Again, that sounds like something that a woman does to, you know, try to keep the kids from the man and all that other kind of stuff. Try to take the kids away from him. Because I know guys in that situation right now where the woman is like, hey, when you leave me, you ain't never seeing your kids again. And all this kind of mess.
It definitely goes both ways.
Yeah. And I think that that's an excellent point, and I'm glad that we're mentioning that. Abuse is not just one gender versus the other. I mean, you guys are exactly right. It does go both ways, and neither way is right.
Yeah.
No, neither way is right. Women, and I mean, for me being a woman, for me being a divorced woman, I think it's the sickest thing in the world for a person to use their kids against their spouse. I think that is so sick.
Yeah.
It really is. And we really, you know, as adults, we have to remember to kind of keep it between the adults. Even I think that even talking about your ex in front of your kids is a form of abuse.
It really is.
Saying that your daddy ain't, you know, no good and he a loser, your mama a tramp and this, that, other, that's abuse too.
It is, because a lot of times that information is going to go right back to that partner. And that goes back to that, you know, having the children to relay messages. I mean, you may not be saying, you know, little Johnny, I want you to tell your mother this, but just for the fact that you're, you know, saying bad things about the mother, you know that information is going to get back to her. And so, you know, it's all a part of that cycle of abuse where, you know, the children are even being involved.
And, you know, Ashley, this right here is a good transition into our other part. Ashley is talking about the abuser, you know, I guess, you know, from a guy point of view, you know, a lot of times you hear that, you know, the woman, she's going through this, she, you know, this happened, that happened, but why? You know, I mean, really, why is it happening now? I know there are some people who would be like, well, it doesn't matter why, you know, it's wrong to begin with, but then at the same time, you know, I mean, as, you know, despite how bad a situation is, I always believe there's two sides to every story. Now, I know that, you know, if a woman is looking all beaten and you know, and emotionally tangled up, you know, it's just like, you know, you're going to automatically blame the abuser. But, you know, let's talk about what makes the abuser abuser. You know, I mean, what makes a guy, you know, get to that point? You know, what makes him dehumanize a woman, you know, that way? So, I mean, what do y'all think about that? I mean, I guess for me, I think, like, a lot of times, you know, kind of like what we said in the last show, is that, you know, the abuser, they have been abused, you know, somewhere in their life, and, you know, they don't really know how to, I guess, cope with it or either release it in a positive way, so they do it, you know, negatively. You know, they just take it out on the next, which is most of the time their spouse, the girlfriend, or whoever. So I think that's one way. I mean, what are y'all thoughts on that?
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. And I honestly feel like at some point as a woman, you have to say enough is enough. And I think that sometimes people abuse solely because they can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just the type of woman that I'm not going to be caught up in a situation where a person treats me less than the way that I need to be treated. And I think if more women start saying, I'm not going to stand for this and I'm not going to put up for it, then there'll be a lot of less people out there abusing people.
Well,
you know, or if we get in situations where we are a little bit more independent, meaning I don't have to stay with an abuser to stay in this house or to drive this car or to go here or to go there. So I think that the responsibility is definitely on the person that's abusing, but if I'm allowing myself to get abused, that responsibility falls on me a little bit as well.
Demita, what are your thoughts?
I definitely think that, you know, even if someone maybe has made up in their mind that they do want a different life for themselves, they don't want to be in this abusive relationship anymore, I mean, unless they really have some good information about what their options are, in terms of, you know, possibly getting a domestic violence protective order, you know, getting criminal charges filed against this person. You know, there's an address confidentiality program with the state where if you literally have to, say, move out of the area, that nobody mm-hmm. could find your address unless you gave it to them, unless mm-hmm. you know that you know, have the option of going to a domestic violence shelter and staying there for a few weeks before you can move into your own place. I mean, unless you know what those options are and know that you can get out literally safely, because, again, you know, with these, you know, the threats and the intimidation, if somebody is literally telling you, you know, they're beating you down and they're telling you, if you try to leave me, I'm going to kill you, you're not going to be real quick to just step out and just leave because you know what's going to happen. What you believe is going to happen is that you're literally not going to, you know, be able to live anymore. And then what do you do about your children? I mean, your children are not going to have parents anymore. You know, they're not going to have their biological parents or whatever. And so you start thinking about these kind of things, and, you know, that's what keeps people, basically just keeps people in bondage, makes people feel like, okay, even though I know this is wrong, I don't like this abuse, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore, they just feel like they don't have any options unless we're getting that information out there to let them know, yes, there are options. You can call a crisis line. You can reach out to a domestic violence agency. You know, there are options out there for you.
So it's like abuse is like a form of brainwashing as well, then.
Yeah, to a certain extent, it definitely is. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when you think about, you know, even the isolation that we talked about last week, that if all the messages that you're getting about who you are as a person are just coming from your abusing partner, you don't have any more friends because that person has isolated you so much, even your family, you know, doesn't talk to you anymore because you've isolated yourself from them, all you're hearing is that you're a bad person, you can't do anything right, you're ugly, you're stupid, and, you know, if you try to leave me, I'm going to take your kids, you know, I'm going to kill myself, or, you know, all these different negative messages, that's all you've got. And unless you have somebody else to say, no, you are a valuable, you know, person, you deserve more than that, and you can reach out to this agency to get some help, you may not even realize that that's an option.
Exactly.
Wow.
Lita, why do you think a guy, you know, will go to abusing a woman? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I wanted to respond to what Tori was saying about a girl saying, you know, enough is enough and walking out, and it's just as much her fault than the abuser's fault. I mean, you start off into the relationship. You could say you're going to do all these things, but at the end of the day, when you're in the relationship, and like Demita, like she said, you know, you have a year or two of just perfect relationship. The guy treats you so good, and he makes you feel like you're perfect, and then once, like, he slowly starts to, you know, treat you bad and then breaks you down, and it gets to a point where you're, like, your self-esteem is on the floor, you know, and you can't pick yourself back up, so you're not the same person that started at the beginning of a relationship saying, you know what, I'm not going to put up with this, because you're broken down to the point where it's like, if I leave him, I'm not going to have anybody else.
That's fair.
Wow.
Yeah, it's real fair. And, you know, and then also two other reasons, too, why some people think, I got these reasons off of Facebook. Two other reasons why people say that men may abuse is they like to keep the woman afraid of them, you know, so it gives them a sense of a feeling of being dominant. And also somebody said that let's see, they think that it thinks that it's a way of being a man. You know, like they said that some people might, yeah, like some men might think, you know, that's being masculine, that's being a man by all these abuses. I mean, it's sad to say, but yeah, you know, that's what some men may think. Go ahead.
Some people are raised into that. You know, when little boys, if they grow up in that kind of environment, where they see their parents and they see their dad doing that to their mom, they're gonna grow up in the same thing only because they think it's fine. It's not that they wanted to do it. It's not that they think they should do it. It's just that that's how life was for them. So that's what they're gonna do.
Exactly.
Continue doing it. Really.
That's awful. But those are some reasons, you know, why men may abuse. I mean, definitely. Those are only three. It's definitely not all the reasons. But what we're going to do, we're going to switch back over into the abuses of tonight. So far, we have talked about using intimidation and using children as an abuse for domestic violence. Now, we're going to talk about minimizing, denying, and blaming the woman. I guess, you know, some signs of that would be, you know, making light of the abuse and not taking her concerns seriously. Demetra, will you have some more signs to add to this?
Definitely. I mean, with the, like you said, minimizing, denying, and blaming, anybody who's trying to shift the responsibility for their abusive behavior onto their partner by saying, oh, you made me do this. Look what you made me do. You made me
go
to the house. And you know what I mean? And making that person feel like, oh, my goodness, you know, I somehow touched off my husband, and now he's all, you know, throwing stuff all over the place, and he's, you know, broken dishes everywhere, clothes all over the house now. You know, there's a hole in the wall, and somehow it was something that I had done to make him upset. No, you're not responsible ever for somebody else's behavior. If somebody else, you know, goes off yelling and screaming and cursing and throwing stuff all over the house, that's not your fault ever. There's nothing you can do to make somebody do that. That's their responsibility. And so anybody who is not willing to take responsibility for their own actions, I mean, that's part of the abuse. And, again, it keeps you in bondage because it makes you feel like you did something, like, you know, like you need to change. No, you know, it's your partner who needs to change if they're cursing at you and throwing stuff all over the house.
But
and
you
I
know
think,
what?
Go ahead, Z.
No, I just want to say, but you know what, you know, we're talking about it, you know, we're discussing it, we're having a show about it. But then, you know, as I read this and then as I listen to Demetra, you know, just visualizing, you know, somebody actually going through these types of things, it's actually scary. I mean, just think about all the people.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's really sad to think that people are actually going through these things. I mean, and that these people, I mean, they're in situations that, like, some of them, you know, kind of like what we said, you know, they just feel like there's no way out. You know, they just feel like it's the end for them. They don't know how to reach out for help. And it's really sad. I mean, like, whenever you really think about it, it's sad. It's scary almost.
It is. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I have talked to somebody on the crisis lines, and you can just tell that their spirit is just broken. They are sobbing to the point it's like, you know, I'm going to let you catch your breath, and then we can talk about it, you know what I mean? Because, you know, they just think about, you know, how this person makes them feel about themselves. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have dinner on the table when he wanted it, and he got so angry, he threw everything on the floor. And, you know what I mean? You hear these people, like, they're trying to be the best wife, the best girlfriend, the best partner they can be, and nothing's good enough. Nothing is good enough for their partner. I mean, even if they were perfect in terms of the dinner was perfect, it was on time, it was exactly what he wanted, he's going to find something to pick at, you know?
Mm.
And
this is a huge eye opener to me because I think what Z Fly was saying, the fact that there are people who go through this day to day, and we did the stats last week, it is an eye opener. And then you think about the fact that these are people that we work with every day.
Oh, yeah.
They come to work who have dealt with this all, you know, and you're thinking, oh, I can't stand her. You know, oh, he just gets on my nerves. He has an attitude all the time. And we never take into consideration what that person may have went through the night before. I mean, this is some real stuff.
It is.
This is pitiful. And the point that we made about go ahead, sweetie.
I was asking D-Fly what would make him abuse somebody.
Oh, maybe.
You are too sexy.
Hey, I'll be the same. Well, actually, I would abuse you because, you know, you just get on my nerves. I can't stand you. So, yeah, I would abuse you. I mean, just you speaking, it just gets on my nerves. So, yeah.
You're going in a completely wrong direction now.
Exactly.
I take you back to roots on me now. You don't even want that for me.
Whatever.
But back to the part about the minimizing, the denying and blaming, I can remember I was probably about 7 years old, and I was just, you know, talking about this girl. And my dad said, that sounds like you have low self-esteem. And I looked at him like, huh? What does that have to do with anything? And I promise y'all I'm going to bring this home. But he would tell me all the time, a person with low self-esteem, a person that feels like they have to make another person small in order to make themselves big. And I think that sometimes with the abusers, they probably do have a really low self-esteem. So they have to kind of push off that weight on other people and make other people feel small so that they themselves can feel, you know, kind of big or like they're doing it. It almost goes back to what Smooth T was saying. They think that that's part of being, you know, a man, or I'm doing it, or I'm running things.
Exactly,
so,
and that's the only place they can be in a relationship
factor.
On top. If they're not on top in a relationship, they can't deal with it. They can't handle it. You know, they
exactly.
have to break somebody else down in order for them to be on top.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, that's, if you really think about that. Oh, hold on, let me get a call. Okay. We're going to call in the 706. You're keeping it real hot and fresh. Can you hear us?
Hello?
Yeah, 706.
706.
Yeah, is that you?
Hold on, let me get a pen right quick.
Is that the area code that you're calling from, sweetheart?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you're on live with the Keeping It Real High and Fresh crew. You got a comment?
No, taking on application there.
You did what, sweetheart?
I was checking on the application there. Did y'all have any?
Okay. Well, no, we just go to our Facebook page.
Yeah, tell me this. We're going to tell you how to do it, but while you're on the phone since you called in, can you tell us how you feel about domestic violence? Because that's what we're talking about tonight.
Oh, I really don't know nothing about it. I haven't had no studies on it.
Okay, you've never been a victim of it? Okay, well, that's good. That's a blessing. All right, Z. What was you saying?
All right, but as far as application, just go to our Facebook page or MySpace. You'll find us at Real Hot Fresh, and you can apply there, okay?
Thank you.
What is it now?
It's Real Hot Fresh. And if you just type that in the Facebook or MySpace, you'll find us. And then just leave us a message on what you're applying for, okay?
All right, thank you.
Okay, everybody. So yeah.
Y'all know I'm silly. Oh, bless that baby. Oh, yes.
So
yes,
what we're doing tonight is we're talking about domestic violence. And so far we're talking about using intimidation to children and minimizing, denying, and blaming the woman for, you know, for anything. The last abuse that we're going to talk about tonight is going to be sexual abuse. And actually, we kind of touched on this last week as far as, you know, being in a marriage, but we're going to talk about the sexual abuse tonight. That'll be the last abuse that we're going to talk about tonight, but it's not the last we're going to talk about, period. But sexual abuse, some signs will be, you know, threatening her like a sex object, you know, just treating her like she's nothing. But, of course, Ms. Demita can give us so much more. Take the floor.
Okay. Well, sexual abuse, you know, as we kind of talked about a little bit last time, can take the form of rape, marital rape, if we're talking about two married people. But it can also be in the form of if you, say, are in a consensual sexual relationship with someone, but they're wanting you to do things and forcing you to do things, really, that you don't want to do sexually. And you feel like you have to comply either because they're threatening you or because they're literally taking you by force and making you do things you don't want to do, even things like, you know, maybe having sexual relations with other people outside of the relationship, you know, and again, it's because you're being forced or coerced into doing this. It might be that, you know, they're not really, you know, considering, you know, if they're hurting you or if they're, you know, scaring you during sex. I mean, they're you know, taking, they're doing things by force where you're no longer giving consent. And that can either fall in the category of rape or it can fall in the category of sexual assault. But either way, it's a crime. You know, if somebody is forcing you to do something sexually that you don't want to do, it's a crime. And just know that if you've ever been in a situation where you just felt uncomfortable and you've made that known to your partner and they, you know, did whatever they did anyway, that's a crime. And you don't have to take that kind of behavior. You don't have to, you know, just deal with something like that in a relationship. It's not right. And, you know, I think a lot of times it goes back to what you were saying about, you know, how men sometimes are socialized to think that, okay, I'm the dominant one in the relationship. I'm setting the standard and the tone for what's going to happen, you know, in my sexual relationship. And that's not the case. I mean, it's got to be an equal partnership when we're talking about sex. And it can't be that one person is feeling like they're always being coerced into having sex with their partner. You know what I mean? It might be, again, that you are in a relationship with someone who you freely have had sex with before, but maybe tonight you don't want to. Or if that person takes liberties with you anyway, even though you've already voiced that you don't want to do it tonight, that's rape or sexual assault. And so, you know, and we actually have a program through Interact called the Rape Prevention Education Program, where we really kind of tease out what does it mean to grant consent to someone in a relationship when you're talking about sex. You know, I mean, if somebody is saying no and you're doing things anyway that they don't want to do sexually, you know, that can fall in the category of sexual assault or rape. And, you know, people don't always think about that. Like, what does it mean when my partner is consenting to what I'm doing sexually? What does that look like, you know? And you just have to, I mean, I think, you know, everybody really should consider what that means. You know, what does that mean for you when you're granting consent to someone? And what does it look like for that other person when they're granting consent to you? And just really understanding and being very clear about it, that you're not crossing any boundaries for someone else and that you're not having boundaries of yours crossed. And just being able to have those conversations in advance.
Right, that is just so informative, and that's some stuff that we rarely think about, but we should know. I think that's awesome that you tell them this is what consent looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people don't know that you have so many date rape victims out there that are scared to even talk about it because they feel like this is a situation that I got myself into. Whereas if they would have had that education, they would know nobody has the right to take anything from you.
You're right about that.
That you don't willfully, you know, give.
Exactly. And then you also have to think about the fact that if somebody is completely intoxicated to the point that they maybe have passed out or they're not very responsive, they're not very lucid, they're passing out and they're back, you know, they're conscious again and they're passing out, they're not able to grant consent. So if you're having sex with somebody who's passed out from being drunk, they're not granting consent. That's rape or it's sexual assault, whatever it is that you're doing to them sexually. Because they are not in a place where they can grant consent.
And a lot of the college, you know, kids need to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Because that happens at so many of the different frat parties and just parties, period. That is not consent.
Does that include your girlfriend? Because if your girlfriend's passed out and you have sex with her, is that wrong, too?
Oh, yeah, if she's passed out. Yeah, if she's passed out, she cannot grant consent. You can't grant consent unless you are conscious. If you're passed out.
That's what I tell her ahead of time. Like, if you pass out, yeah, you're probably going to get freaky anyway. I don't let it know before.
Oh, boy.
When you look at the law, because I'm speaking about, you know, not my own, like, personal feelings. I'm speaking from, like, what is, you know, North Carolina law. If you have sex with someone who has passed out from being drunk or high or whatever it is, they can literally say that you've raped them because they've not been able to grant consent. Even if they, you know, were to say later, oh, I really want, that's what I wanted, you know, I wanted to have sex with this person. They didn't grant consent at that time because they were passed out.
Right.
And so, you know, whether they say it, you know, at any point in time that they were raped, that's exactly what happened if they were passed out and didn't grant consent.
And people need to hear that because you can't
mm-hmm.
be convicted for it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you think, oh, nah, we was out kicking it, we was just drinking. No, and then you end up in jail for, you know, 50, 11 years.
And you, if you are convicted of a sexual assault or a rape, you are considered to be a sex offender. That
wow.
stays on your record for a long, long time, for years. You can be marked as a sex offender. If you move into a neighborhood, people in that neighborhood can be notified that you, as a sex offender, have moved into their neighborhood. You know what I mean? You can't live within, you know, certain number of feet of schools. And I mean, there's just all kinds of restrictions on sex offenders. And so you have to really keep this in mind, you know, when you're having sex, just to know that this person is actually granting consent to you. That they're not,
you know,
passed out, that they're not, you know, out of their mind to the point they don't even know what's going on. You know,
well, that's a lesson for me because I had no idea. I thought it was
mm-hmm.
just if you molested kids, you were listed as a sex offender.
Oh, no.
Wow.
If you have been convicted of rape or sexual assault, you were listed as a sex offender. People can look
This is very good. I just want to, Demita, could you possibly give us maybe 10 more minutes, if that's okay with everybody else? Because this is really some good information, and the show is about to end. But I think I can stretch it up for 10 more minutes because, I mean, you know, I'm listening to Tori D and Taunt and Smooty and, you know, all of us. I mean, this is really good. I mean, people really need to hear this. So if you could give us maybe 10 more minutes, that'd be great. Okay. But go ahead, Tori D. What were you saying?
Well, I was just going to mention earlier another thing that when we looked up the abuse that I wanted to mention is the mental health aspect of
the abuse.
Because I looked up and it said that a lot of abusers suffer from narcissistic sociopathy,
mm-hmm.
and they suffer from being bipolar. So I think that's something, too, that we need to kind of touch on a little bit because a lot of people out here are mentally challenged. I'm not going to call you crazy, but
mm-hmm.
are mentally challenged and never look at that aspect of it, you know, at all. So I just wanted to make sure that we pointed that out, too, that if you have some of the things that we've been talking about, some of the symptoms, you're controlling, you know, you're isolated, you're antisocial, it may be something that you want to get checked out, too, so that you don't hurt someone. Because at any given time, you know, and I've been convicted on a lot of things because I say a lot of stuff, and I say it because I want to say it, not thinking how it's going to affect the next person. So this, you know, the series that we've been doing has helped me out a lot as well. But it makes you say to yourself, if you have some of these tendencies, you need to get checked out before you abuse somebody, you know, before you become an abuser.
Exactly.
So,
yeah,
and
one of the things that, I'm sorry.
No, I'm done.
Well, one of the things, too, definitely as an advocate, is that I think sometimes when we think about mental illness, you think about things that people can't really help. I mean, there's certain things about being bipolar that because it's a chemical imbalance in your brain or any other kind of a mental health issue, there's almost
mm-hmm.
some things that you can't even really help. But one thing that I definitely want to drive home for people is that, you know, individuals are responsible for their own behavior. So
right.
you can't really say, okay, I'm bipolar, I'm sorry I just slapped you, you know,
right.
a mental illness. You know
what
I mean? Like, you
yes.
still have to
yes.
come back and
yes.
say,
that
I did it.
That actually happened on a job one time. I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
It actually happened on the job one time. The girl
mm-hmm.
smacked the other girl and said it was because she was bipolar.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but
I mean,
you're right. That's absolutely no excuse. You are exactly
mm-hmm.
right. They have medicines for everything, and they have medicines for that.
Mm-hmm.
You are exactly right.
Might hit me for it.
Here we go, see? And I'm not going to hit me. Now, just to go back over the last two abuses that we talked about, I don't remember saying the signs. The third one we talked about tonight was minimizing, denying, and blaming her. You know, that would be like making light of the abuse and not taking her concerns seriously, you know, saying the abuse did not happen, and also shifting the responsibility to abuse behavior, you know, like, you know, in other words, saying that it, saying she was the one why, you know, you hit her or whatever. Also, we're talking about sexual abuse, and that would be making her do sexual things against her will, physically acting the sexual part of her body, and also threatening her like a sex object. So, yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, and also just listening to these abuses, you know, I'm just thinking about, you know, different, you know, friends, you know, girlfriends or, you know, friends that were girls in my life, and then just remember how their boyfriends and whoever treated them. And you're right, you know, women put up with a lot. And another thing, I had a friend tonight that was telling me about a girl who was getting hit, and then she was saying, well, my boyfriend, he hits me because he loves me. That's why he does it, because he loves me. And, you know,
crazy.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, how in the world, I don't know. Is it something whenever a person, you know, mentality gets to a point where you think that this abuse is love?
Yeah,
you know?
And like you said earlier, I mean, it's, you know, if that's how your parents treated you, you know, you
right.
thought, okay, you know,
right.
I got as a child and, you know, my parents love me. Or you saw, you know, your parents fighting all the time and your mom is like, you know, your daddy loves me, your daddy loves me, but she's got a black eye. You know what I mean? And you're thinking, oh, that's what love is. No, that's a skewed idea of what love is. Love, you know, like
yeah.
I said earlier, it does not hurt. You know, you might get in arguments with your partner. You might, you know, disagree with your partner. Your partner should never strike you for any reason, period.
Never.
There's nothing you can do to deserve it, ever.
Mm-hmm. We have definitely had a serious, real topic tonight, and we want to thank Mr. Chambers.
Thank you.
So much for joining us again and then just giving us insight, just dissecting, you know, these abuses that we're talking about. We're gonna go ahead and get final thoughts from everybody, because I do want everybody to, you know, to be able to give their thoughts. So we'll start with Smooth T. What are your final thoughts for the show?
I say don't abuse your woman unless she says she likes it.
Okay.
Oh,
unless she says she likes it, Tommy. Really.
Some people do.
Well,
please don't pay any attention, listeners. Please don't.
Lisa, what are your final thoughts?
I think it's great that you guys covered this, because that way, like she said, there's not a lot of people that know how to, you know, react or where they could get help from. So it's lack of knowledge, and you guys are spreading knowledge, and I think it's great. It's great.
Story D, what you got?
Okay, do you mind if I go last? Because I asked you meant to do something at the top of the hour that I forgot to do.
Oh, sure, yeah, I'll go ahead. I guess basically my final thoughts would be, you know, for women, you know, really be aware of, you know, what you're putting yourself into. I mean, like, kind of like what we've been talking about tonight, you know, anytime a guy is, you know, hitting you, I mean, that's a red flag big time that, you know, that's not love. I mean, I don't care if he said, you know, he didn't mean to do it, mistake. You know, if he doesn't want, I mean, if he did it, that means that it's in him to do it again. You know, as far as emotional abuse, you know, really, really, you know, don't let the mind games fool you. You know, kind of like what we were talking about earlier about, you know, he does certain things and then trying to make it like it's your fault, then no. I mean, because like Demetra said, you know, nobody, you know what I'm saying, you can't make somebody, you know, do certain things to you. You know, they're responsible for them own, you know, for their own self. So I would just say, you know, just be wise, just be careful, and definitely, you know, try to get yourself out of that situation. I know that's easier said than done, but, you know, basically, you know, have family members, friends around you, you know, that like you can talk to, and then don't get in a certain situation where, you know, you don't feel comfortable talking. So that's my advice. And also, Demetra, whenever you give your final thoughts, could you also give, you know, hotline numbers that people could call, please?
Absolutely. Interact's domestic violence, 24-hour domestic violence hotline is 919-828-7740. The National Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-800-799-7233. So that's 1-800-799-SAFE.
Thank you so much. And Tori D, what's your final thoughts?
I wanted to say thank you so much to Demetra again, and thank you to this show. We have to remember the scripture that says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So when we're in certain situations, we have to go out there. We have to listen to shows like this, you know, Google, so that we can get some information and so that we can help ourselves. So So that's my final thought as far as that is concerned. Get out there, get information, and get help. But what I meant to do at the top of the show during our announcement sections, I wanted to give a big shout-out to the As Is Band. They're like the best live band on the planet. They're actually going to be at the Sky Bar in Auburn, Alabama, on October the 23rd, and they'll be at Beta Theta Phi in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, on October the 24th. So I wanted to give a shout-out to them. But I know they come, you know, we have to digress to doing that after such a powerful show, but I meant to do that at the top of the hour, and I apologize, guys. But I had before we logged off. But definitely get knowledge and get help, and, you know, I just love this show. I love what we do. I really do. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much again, Demita.
Yes, and Demita, we want to thank you. Yeah, we want to thank you so much for joining us again. Thank you so much for all your knowledge.
Thank you. I mean, I really appreciate being able to get this information out there.
No problem. We thank you. And we're going to thank you. And also, everybody, if you have been listening, you do know that we have, you know, we're looking for another trial host. And tonight we had Ms. Lita. She was on the line with us, hosting with us tonight. So, Ms. Lita, we want to thank you so much for joining
thank
us tonight.
Thank you.
And also, no. Thank you. Now, Lita, also let everybody know why you should be the next Real Hot and Fresh host.
I'm knowledgeable, I care, and I think, I mean, this is a great radio station for a lot of people, and I would love to be a part of it and hopefully add, you know, my own, what can I say, my own knowledge and my own, you know, from, I've lost the word, but, you know, you get me. Yeah.
We got you.
Experiences, my God.
Exactly.
And I just got corrected too, y'all. I'm sorry. Right, they will. The As Is Band will be at the Iron Horse Cafe this weekend. I am so sorry. This Saturday, my
Lord
bad, y'all.
Lord have mercy. I'm keeping the wrong advice.
Ooh, man, I'm
she
getting
wrong
up.
Advice.
And they will be in Tuscaloosa on the 24th. My goodness. Lord have mercy. Help us all. My bad, y'all. Okay.
Okay. Well, everybody, we definitely want to thank you for a wonderful show tonight. And we thank you again for Ms. Demita for being on the show and giving her insight of domestic violence. But before we go, we are going to go ahead and get into 10 ways you know you ghetto. That's going to close the show out. So are y'all ready, my people?
We ready.
Ready.
All right, y'all, number 10. You know you ghetto. You know you ghetto if there is a 7-Eleven on every block.
Oh, Lord.
You in the ghetto.
New York.
Hey, leave that alone. You leave New York alone.
You know,
number 9.
I'm just hating because you in New York and I'm not. So
I love it. I'm loving it. Number 9. You know you in the ghetto if the rats are bigger than your cat. New York.
The cat won't even care the rat. Be like, Negro, please.
Okay, you gotta get a dog to get them cats.
Okay.
Number 8. You might have some ghetto family members if you have to hide your food in your closet just so it'll last.
Wow.
Now y'all know how y'all got them cousins that always love to be in everybody's food.
Well, if you put the name on your food in your house, that is so ghetto.
Okay. Number 7. You know you stand at a ghetto apartment complex when your backyard resembles an alley.
Wow.
And number 6, the ghetto fabulous thing might not be working for you if you're Gucci down, but you have some rollers in your head.
Oh, Lord, help us all.
Number 5, you know you ghetto if you can keep up with the... I'm sorry, number 5, you know you ghetto if you can keep up with the latest phones, video games, and cars. You can't keep up with your rent.
Wow. Okay, now that's a good one.
Okay. Number 4, you know you ghetto when at every family cookout, chitlins are a must.
Ew. Please tell me people. Come on, y'all. Please tell me people are still not eating chitlins.
Oh, sure they are. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Come on,
they're
y'all.
They're very bad. I don't like them. Number three, you either ghetto or a little bit slow when your child's grades drop in school as soon as you start helping them with their homework. Now, y'all know y'all don't know this new album. Y'all know that. Y'all don't know it.
That is crazy. Wow.
Very crazy. Number two, you know you ghetto if you use newspaper to act as a diaper for your 11-month-old baby.
Ew.
And number one, y'all, you know you ghetto if you use your unemployment check to travel.
Now that is super ghetto.
Okay.
You got down on that one, babe.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all so much for tuning in tonight. Next week, make sure you definitely tune in because we will have a third and last week of domestic violence. And the question of the night will be, is there ever a time where women may put themselves in domestic violence? What y'all think? Don't say nothing. We'll talk about it next week. This has been keeping it real hot and fresh, and we are going to leave y'all. That's right. We're going to leave y'all with Miss Left Eye. It's getting really hot in here. All right, y'all. Peace.
Peace.
5, 9, 12, 18. She the one you thought would never do a solo LP. Yeah, now what chick it out, sell me. Drama comes in dozens and I know you love it. A rose is still a rose, so I rose to butter. The more that they see the woman got a mind of her own, the less that they want a part of my throne, they figure. But the more they compare me to the ones they could own, they know they never should have left me alone. I'm bigger, I'm without money gang and my Jesus up. Treat me like David Blaine and freeze me up. Let me address the issue, I'm super, not superficial. For me, the only statement I'm making is for me. 7 digits never under my bank account hold. Numbers like your phone numbers plus area code. Gamble with your career, the head chance, huh? See what happened with drugs on my record deserves answers.
Oh, Left Eye, what's happening? Everybody wanna know where you've been, girl. Oh, Left Eye, sleepless children, mothers and thugs. You know everybody love Miss Left Eye. What's happening? Everybody wanna know where you've been.
Credit in pub, trying to be loved. I'm fed a meal and a fair club. What you got signed for? I spit on some rugs, DVDs and TVs, and that's just in the car. Borderline genius, scientist, swear by me. Imagine Einstein in Carmen Jones' body. Gave you auditions. They say I'm a gymnast in business.